I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Traveling to other planets, distant planets, 4 light years, 20 light years, 100 light years, it is possible. I welcome Charlie Pellegrino, who with his colleague Jim Powell, the late Jim Powell at the Brookhaven National Laboratory, present us Project Valkyrie. You have all seen Avatar. You certainly know that the trip to another planet involves a ship that travels not faster than the speed of light, but near to. Valkyrie Project imagines somewhere between 10% of the speed of light and a maximum of 92% of the speed of light. Charlie, a very good evening to you. The Valkyrie Project is built around two kinds of engines, a fusion engine to 10% and then an antimatter engine to 92%. I hope I have that correct. So let us begin with the engine. What is it running on? How does it? Where do you get the fuel for the fusion part and the antimatter part? Good evening to you.
Good evening. The fusion part isn't too difficult. You could probably do it with just hydrogen. What you trigger the fusion with would be a stream of antiprotons, which is basically antihydrogen stripped of its electrons and fired through very small atomic accelerators to what's actually considered kind of slow relativistic speeds of maybe 750, 800 miles a second.
So we have the
and
fusion.
And that triggers the fusion.
The fusion engine then is straightforward. We can build that with routine samples of anywhere in the immediate solar system. Is that correct?
Right, right. And it's just hydrogen, and you get the fusion reaction. You get particles coming off of that reaction. And in front of the ship, you have magnetic field lines that the particles from the fusion reaction are bouncing against and pulling the whole ship forward.
That is the to 10% of the speed of light, which is very good. That means a trip to Alpha Centauri is imaginable. But we go now up to 92% of the speed of light, and the fuel is antimatter. Where do we get antimatter?
Right. To just have a few grams of antihydrogen for triggering fusion, that would take a lot of energy. But there are systems that were being looked at. Yeah, we can get it up to that. But basically, antihydrogen is good only. You can't really power fusion reactors on the ground and everything. You're putting in more energy than you're ever going to get out of it. So it's good for rocketry, where you need a lot of power in a very compact space. And one of the things, if we look in the direction that robotics are heading, and we're already starting to work things out for how to make little self-replicating factories, you could send your big expenses sending the first few self-replicating factories developing that technology. And of course, we're looking much more than years from now, and you send them almost like a viral infection to, for example, the planet Mercury, and you use the solar, they switch over to building solar panels and little atomic accelerators, and you can actually then be producing many metric tons of antihydrogen, storing it in magnetic bottles and cooled to about 1/50,000th of a degree Kelvin. And there's your fuel for pure antimatter-matter drives in Starship. And you can then get up to 92% the speed of light.
All right, 92% of the speed of light means we can extend our range, not at Alpha Centauri, but beyond that. Now, we're building a ship around this engine. That's it. So we need to design the ship, what it looks like. My reading from the way Project Valkyrie has been imagined is that it looks like a cable car with the engine way out front, many kilometers, and then the crew and the storage and the supplies and the fuel trailing behind. How are they all connected, Charlie? All moving in the same direction? It's a pull, not a push engine.
Right. It's almost like the engine is a motorboat pulling a skier along on a long line. And one of the reasons for that is cutting much of the gamma ray dose that would come off of the engine. And you have a shadow shield, which is basically a hunk of tungsten about 100 meters behind the engine. And that's also casting a gamma ray shadow over the crew compartment, the storage tanks, and everything else that are down the line about 6.5 miles away. And the reason, one of the great things about having the engine up front and a long cord with things, with your equipment and your crew compartment all the way down on the bottom, is it's much cheaper in terms of mass. You know, for interstellar flight, you want to reduce the mass of the whole ship and make it like the ultralight of spacecraft. And so you don't have a tower with the crew up on top and you have all these girders and everything else that then you have to push along and use more fuel to do that. Then you need more shadowing because your engine is burning hotter and it becomes impossible then.
So what we're doing then is building a ship that is essentially an engine that tows the crew. The crew lives behind. Initially, I'm imagining this would be a robot crew in the exploration phase. You're looking for something that's habitable. But presuming that it's not a robot crew, which would be entertaining, you have a human crew. How are they shielded? Again, Charlie, you said you had a shield, but you've got a lot of things coming at that crew in deep space. Are they awake the time that it takes to travel to Alpha Centauri? That would be about, 3.5 years?
Right, to the nearest star, which is the system that's involved in the Avatar films, it would be almost 6 years accelerating and decelerating. But at 92% the speed of light, you are taking advantage of Einstein's relativity, the special theory of relativity. And you are aging at only one-third when you're up to 92%. You're aging at only one-third the rate of stay-at-home observers on Earth. You could push all the way up to 95% the speed of light and be aging at only one-sixth the rate of stay-at-home observers on Earth. But it's going to take you twice as much energy input from antimatter. It's going to take you twice the energy to go from 92% to 95%. As it took going from 0 to 92. And it's also a matter of you're now doubling the problem you're going to encounter with grains of dust or sand as you are flying forward through interstellar space and you're hitting particles. Now, the cooling and shielding system that Pal and I designed by sending droplets out ahead of the ship, recapturing them in your magnetic field. They radiate whatever heat is intercepted from the engine, recaptured, reused. It would be much less able to deal with that. The problems become greater once you start going beyond 92% the speed of light. It's not impossible to right. go up to 95, but it's difficult.
The bigger the ship, the more the antimatter that you need. Do you pre-position the fuel? Or do you take everything with you for a round trip? How are you imagining this, Charlie, as we build the ship?
Well, when the lion's share of the fuel is going to be ordinary hydrogen, which you get to the Alpha Centauri system, and it's easy to get hydrogen for your return trip.
That would be
if there are Mercury-like planets there, and 100 years from now we've developed self-replicating robotic factory technology, we might send them to a Mercury-like planet around that other star before we launch from Earth. And so you have all of your return fuel when you get to the other planet. What that means is if you had a large jumbo jet going to Paris from New York, and it had to carry all the fuel for the return trip and could not fuel at its destination, that plane would be almost prohibitively large and mostly fuel. So it's the same thing. If you're going interstellar, it'd be nice if you had all of your fuel or as much as possible waiting for you when you got there.
Charles Pellegrino with his colleague, the late Jim Powell, the Valkyrie Project for traveling to other stars. When we come back, we're going to travel to one, but not close at hand, Alpha Centauri. We're going out to what the TESS, the NASA's Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite, TESS, has discovered, an Earth-like planet 100 light years out. What will that trip look like? I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.